turn with me in your hymnals to hymn number 579, hymn number 579. And let's stand together as we sing this hymn together. The Banner of the Cross, hymn number 579.
There's a royal banner given for display to the soldiers of the King. As an ensign fair, we lift it up today while the ransom ones we sing. Marching on, marching on, for Christ count everything but loss. That you crown him king, toil and sing, he's the banner of the cross. Though the foe may rage and gather as the flood, let the standard be displayed. And beneath the poles as doors of the Lord, for the truth be not dismayed. Marching on, for Christ count everything but loss. And you crown him king, toil and sing, see the banner of the cross.
Sing out on that last verse.
When the glory dawns, it's drawing very near, it is hastening day by day. Then before our King the foe shall disappear, and the cross the world shall sway. Marching on, marching on, for Christ counts everything but loss.
Thank you. May be seated.
Well, it is our Remembrance Day service this year, and so we have prepared a video for you to take some time to reflect on our Canadian soldiers. But let me remind you, we have some American veterans in our midst as well, and so let's pray for the troops of every nation that are overseas at this time fighting battles to make sure that we are ensured of our freedoms. During the video presentation, you're going to hear two different songs, anthems, if you will. And the first one is called The Maple Leaf Forever. It has often been called the unofficial national anthem of Canada. I'm not sure, maybe by a show of hands you can help me. I understand that they used to sing this in school quite a bit as an anthem, as an alternative anthem in the school system. So how many of you remember that? Has anybody ever done that? Oh, many of you have. Okay, good. And then, of course, we have already sang O Canada, but O Canada was not the official national anthem of Canada until 1980. It was written in 1880, but for 100 years it was kind of an unofficial anthem. It was sang at a lot of different things, sometimes in schools, but it did not become official until 1980. And as a matter of fact, I can remember in 1980 when, by an act of parliament, it became official. We had already been singing it in schools, but we sang a different version of it. In 1980, they added the phrase, God keep our land. So we are so thankful that our Canadian government in 1980 decided it was important to include, to make sure that we make a prayer to God during our national anthem. The other song that you'll hear at the end of the presentation this morning is God Save the Queen. That is our royal anthem, and it was also used as an alternative national anthem over the years in Canada. So I'll encourage you to enjoy and listen, but also to pray for our troops. At the end, we'll be asked to, the video will instruct you to stand for a moment's silence, and then we'll finish with the last post. Let's pray. Our Father, we are again thankful for Canada and the freedom that we have. Lord, it was bought with a price, the shed blood of our soldiers. We give you praise and thanks, Lord, that you have given us this great privilege. Father, our freedom from sin has also been bought with a price. We thank you for the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Father, bless the remainder of our service. May we ever be thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take our Bibles together as we remain standing for our scripture reading this morning.
Good morning. Please turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And we'll read responsibly verses 9 through 17. While you're turning, I've got some announcements. We don't normally give them at this time, but rather than forget, we better do it now. There'll be no junior choir this evening. I've been asked to remind you that we require two pies each for the anniversary. And those that will be serving at the anniversary banquet need to see Mrs. Hardman tonight after the service for some instructions on that. So that's three things. No junior choir, two pies, and servers will meet after the service tonight. John chapter 15, beginning on verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Join me on 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the clarity of this reminder that we are your friends. And Lord, you have provided us with all the information we need to live a God-pleasing life on this earth. Lord, we thank you for securing a home in heaven for us. And Lord, we thank you for this home we have as we wait. Lord, for the bountiful freedoms, the riches of the land. And Lord, we stop to honor those, Lord, that have fought for the freedom and secured it over the years of this nationhood, those that died, those that served, and Lord, even those that are presently serving to maintain it. Lord, we know that marching boots, big guns, and fast planes don't give us peace, but Lord, they secure it. All peace is from you, and we thank you, Lord, for providing us with that. Thank you now, Lord, for the preaching of your word at this time for our pastor, and we pray, Lord, that you encourage him, bless him as he ministers to us, and Lord, help us to learn those things you want us to understand today, and Lord, help us to share that with others. In your precious name we ask, amen. Please be seated. Brother Butch.
I walk today where Jesus walked in days of long ago. I wander down each path he knew with reverent steps and slow. Those little lanes, they have not changed. A sweet peace fills the air. I walk today where Jesus walked and felt his presence there. Bethlehem, our memories ever sweet. Those little hills of Galilee that knew those childish feet. The Mount of Olives' hallowed scenes that Jesus knew before. I saw the mighty Jordan roll as in the days of yore. I knelt today where Jesus knelt, where all alone he prayed. Thy Father of Gethsemane, my heart was unafraid. I picked my heavy burden up, and with him by my side, I climbed the hill of Calvary. I climbed the hill of Calvary. I climbed the hill of Calvary, where on the cross he died. I walk today where Jesus walked and felt him close to me.
Let's take our Bibles this morning. Please turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15. How many of here have been to Israel? Just raise your hand if you've been to Israel. Does that song mean more to you after you've been to Israel and seen some of those things he sang about? Incredible, incredible message. John chapter 15 this morning. We were supposed to sing another hymn, and Mrs. Baker, that's my fault. We just missed it. I'm sorry. I got out of order. John chapter 15, John chapter 15. I want you to look just with me at one verse. I think it's such an appropriate verse for Remembrance Day. The Bible says in verse 13, John chapter 15 and verse 13, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Let's pray. Father, help us understand your word today, and please speak to our hearts. And Father, help us to remember those that have fought and died for our freedom. But Lord, what a wonderful picture of what Jesus Christ did for every single person who ever lived. God so loved the world. And so though the soldiers may die for their country and they may die for the freedom of some, Jesus Christ died for all. So Father, help us never to forget. Lord, bless our time together in your word. Fill me with thy Holy Spirit. I need your help. Bless our junior church time behind us. We pray, Lord, that you would use those teachers for your honor and glory, that we might see precious, never-dying souls come to the Savior. And Father, bless us in here, Lord, that we might hear the Word of God that you'd have for us today. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. This is about 4 years ago, I'm guessing. I'm terrible with time. I'm absolutely horrible with the passing of time. I'll ask my wife, did so-and-so have their baby? And she'll say, yeah, 2 years ago. So I'm just not very good with the passing of time. But I believe it was about 4 years ago, and I was driving in Stony Creek, and I noticed that I couldn't get on the highway at Centennial Parkway, if you kind of know where I'm talking about. I was trying to get on the Queen Elizabeth Way, and it was blocked, and there was at that time a big clover leaf there. It's gone now, but you couldn't really see why it was blocked. I just assumed it was construction again or an accident again. And so I went down the service road, and I was heading out towards Grimsby, but Winona area. And so I got on the service road, and I began to drive, and I noticed as the traffic began to ease up a little bit or something. And so I thought, well, I'll cross over Gray's Road, get back to Highway 8, and go to where I'm headed. So as I got onto off the self-service road and I turned onto Gray's Road, and Gray's Road is down in the Fruitland area of Stony Creek, and I was just about to pass over the bridge, and as I came up over the hill, I noticed policemen and fire trucks and all kinds of people gathered on that bridge. And I realized that it was a tribute to a fallen soldier that was about to pass by. And so I stopped for a moment, I got out of the car, and the soldier was a man from St. Catharines, Ontario, and he was being returned to be buried later that day in St. Catharines. So I stopped upon the bridge, and as I stood there, and it was eerily quiet. You can imagine that in the Golden Horseshoe, where all the business of Ontario takes place, that highway from Queen Elizabeth all the way from Fort Erie all the way around to the other side of Toronto is constantly busy. I mean, there's not a time of the day where it's a good time to go to Toronto, we learned. There was never a good time to try to go through St. Catharines. St. Catharines was always very busy. And yet with that kind of, that time of day, it was the busyness right around noon hour. It just was eerily quiet. There was very little traffic, if any at all. Every bridge, you could see the bridge down at Centennial Parkway back behind me, and I could see way down at Glover Road, I could see lights flashing upon the bridge at Glover Road as well. It was an amazing scene, but as I walked up on that bridge and the car began to come, there was a cavalcade of cars and, of course, a hearse that was carrying the body of this fallen soldier. I noticed that somebody was holding up a sign, and it said, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends." It struck me that day as this man had willingly volunteered his time. I believe he was 39 years old. He wasn't a kid just out of high school with no options. He wasn't somebody that was that had nowhere to go and was looking for a sense of belonging or a family. It wasn't somebody that went there because they needed a discipline put in his life. This was a man who was a full-time firefighter in St. Catharines. He had a family with three children, and he had chosen to volunteer his service to go over and fight a war, that we ultimately might be ensured our freedom. You know, as I thought about that, we are reminded of many soldiers today, and I'd like to share the accounts of a few with you this morning for your consideration. As we think of this verse, "Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends." The story is told of a Sergeant Major John Robert Osborne. At Hong Kong on the morning of the 19th of December 1941, A Company of the Winnipeg Grenadiers, to which company Sergeant Major John Robert Osborne belonged, became divided during an attack on Mount Butler, a hill rising steeply above sea level. A part of the company, led by Company Sergeant Major Osborne, captured the hill at the point of the bayonet and held it for 3 hours, when, owing to the superior numbers of the enemy and to fire from an unprotected flank, the position became untenable. Company Sergeant Major Osborne and a small group covered the withdrawal, and when their turn came to fall back, Osborne single-handed engaged the enemy while the remainder successfully rejoined the company. Company Sergeant Major Osborne had to run the gauntlet of heavy rifle and machine gun fire. With no consideration for his own safety, he assisted and directed stragglers to the new company position, exposing himself to heavy enemy fire to cover their retirement. Whenever danger threatened, he was there to encourage his men. During the afternoon, the company was cut off from the battalion and completely surrounded by the enemy, who were able to approach to within grenade-throwing distance of the site of the slight depression which the company was holding. Several enemy grenades were thrown, which Company Sergeant Major Osborne picked up and threw back. The enemy threw a grenade which landed in a position where it was impossible to pick it up and return it in time. Shouting a warning to his comrades, this gallant warrant officer threw himself on the grenade, which exploded, killing him instantly. His self-sacrifice undoubtedly saved the lives of many others. Company Sergeant Major Osborne was an inspiring example to all throughout the defense, which he assisted so magnificently in maintaining against an overwhelming enemy force for over 8.5 hours, and in his death, he displayed the highest quality of heroism and self-sacrifice. Another by the name of Private Harry Brown. Harry Brown from Gananoque, Ontario, was born on the 10th of May, 1898. He was a farmer in civilian life. He enlisted with the Depot Regiment, Canadian Mounted Rifles, on the 18th of August, 1916, at London, Ontario, where, according to his attestation papers, he was residing at the time. After being sent overseas, he was transferred to the 10th Battalion, CEF. Brown was awarded the Victoria Cross for his actions on the 16th of August, 1917, during the Battle of Hill 70 against the Germans, when Brown and another soldier ran the gauntlet with an important message. Brown sustained mortal injury and died the following day, the 17th of August. Here is his citation. For most conspicuous bravery, courage, and devotion to duty, after the capture of a position, the enemy massed in force and counterattacked. The situation became very critical. All wires were being cut. It was of the utmost importance to get word back to headquarters. This soldier and one other were given the message with orders to deliver the same at all costs. The other messenger was killed. Private Brown had his arm shattered, but continued on through an intense barrage until he arrived at the close support lines and found an officer. He was so spent that he fell down to the dugout steps, but retained consciousness long enough to hand over his message saying, "Important message." He then became unconscious and died in the dressing station a few hours later. His devotion to duty was of the highest possible degree imaginable, and his successful delivery of the message undoubtedly saved the loss of the position for the time and prevented many lives from death. One more. Lance Corporal Samuel Lewis Honey. Samuel Lewis Honey went by his middle name Lewis, born the 9th of February, 1894 in Caen, Ontario, to Reverend George Edward Honey and Meta Blaisdell. Honey was a schoolteacher in civilian life, and planned on attending the University of Victoria for an arts degree. War interrupted these plans, and Lewis answered the call to arms. Lewis originally joined the Army as a non-commissioned soldier, enlisting the 22nd of January, 1915. He earned the military medal raiding German trenches on the 22nd of February, 1917, and covered his platoon and another in the face of heavy grenade fire. Lewis wrote that his party deserved recognition as much as he did. Lewis fought in the Battle of Vimy Ridge, earning the Distinguished Conduct Medal for leadership and maintaining morale in the face of extremely heavy fire. He was recommended for a commission after the battle, and Lewis earned his commission in 1918. Lewis remained modest about his role, stating in correspondence to family that he was simply lucky. He was 24 years old and a lieutenant in the 78th Battalion, Canadian Expeditionary Force, during the First World War. On the 21st of September, 1918, at Berlin Wood, France, he performed a deed at the Battle of Canal du Nord, for which he was awarded the Victoria Cross. His citation reads as follows. For most conspicuous bravery during the Berlin Wood operations, the 27th of September to the 2nd of October, 1918. On the 27th of September, when his company commander and all other officers of his company had become casualties, Lieutenant Honey took command and skillfully reorganized under heavy, severe fire. He continued the advance with great dash and gained the objective. Then, finding that his company was suffering casualties from enfilade machine gun fire, he located the machine gun nest and rushed it single-handed, capturing the guns and 10 prisoners. Subsequently, he repelled 4 enemy counterattacks, and after dark again went out alone, and having located an enemy post, led a party which captured the post and 3 guns. On the 29th of September, he led his company against a strong enemy position with great skill and daring, and continued the succeeding days of the battle to display the high example of valor and self-sacrifice. He died of wounds received during the last day of the attack by his battalion. He saved hundreds of lives. I could read many more. The Victoria Cross is the highest award given by the Crown of England, specifically by the Queen today, has been awarded only to 87, I believe, Canadians. There's been 1,100 handed out in the history of the award, which predates Queen Elizabeth and goes back right to the War of 18, or to the Civil War, to the War of, sorry, the Boer War in the 1800s. 1,182, I believe, have received the Victoria Cross, but 87 Canadians. But I wonder how many hundreds more gave their lives, how many thousands more that never received recognition. But as we are reminded today on Remembrance Day of these thousands of Canadians that have
fought and died to secure our freedom and to preserve for us a way of life, we must also remember that their life that they are preserving is just a temporal life. I don't mean for one second to downplay the sacrifice they have made. I am truly thankful for what our forefathers have done and what they have given us. As a matter of fact, if it were not for our forefathers fighting, especially against some of the most wicked regimes that have ever lived, against communism and against the Nazis, where would we be today, spiritually speaking? Would we have ever heard the gospel preached in Canada if we did not enjoy these freedoms? But as much as we enjoy these freedoms, we need to remember that the life that they give us might only last for 80, 90, 100 years. But there is one greater, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave His life that we might have eternal life. The Bible says in John chapter 15, greater love hath no man than this. Jesus Christ is speaking to His disciples when He says, greater love hath no man than this. He is saying this is the greatest expression of love a man can give, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And I can only imagine as the Lord Jesus Christ says that, and I don't know what the setting was. Perhaps they were resting in the evening and sitting around a campfire, and He's talking to His disciples, and He just simply says to them, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. But I can only imagine Jesus Christ turning and making eye contact with each one as He says, you are my friends. You are my friends. In just those few words, the Lord Jesus Christ expressed to them, I'm willing to lay down my life for you. I'm going to die for you. I don't want to take a lot of time this morning. I think we've enjoyed the video and we've enjoyed some other things, but I would just like to share three very simple points to you this morning. And I want you to notice some things from the Scripture, if you will. I want you to notice, first of all, Jesus Christ's great love for man. The Bible says in John chapter 15, if you'll back up just a few verses, look at verse 9 with me. The Bible says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. I want you to understand this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ's love transcends any type of love that we can have. He did not say, isn't it interesting that He didn't look at Peter and say, well, Peter, I loved you just like you loved me. That would scare Peter, I think. What if He said to one of the others, what if He looked at Judas and said, Judas, you know what? I'm going to love you just like you love me. That might frighten Judas to the very core. Because in his heart it was deceitfully wicked, and he had been conspiring with the chief priests, and he knew that he was about to betray the Lord Jesus Christ into the hand of sinners. And if he looked at Jesus and Jesus said, I love you just like you love me, that wouldn't be a lot of love. But Jesus looked at His disciples and He says, as the Father has loved me, so I love you. You know, if you're a parent of a child today, you might have a slight understanding of this. I don't pretend to think that we can for a moment understand the love of the Father. But how many of you know how much you love your children? And how deeply it pains you when they go astray? And they don't seem to understand it. You know, you talk to them, you tell them you love them, and you try to encourage them and do what's right. And just, you lack that understanding until you have children of your own. You never seem to understand the great love. But God's love for His Son, Jesus Christ, far transcends that. Jesus understood what perfect love was. Unrestrained love. For His Father loved Him perfectly. We were last night, I went to a gospel sing, and one of the fellows was very sensitive that it was Remembrance Day, and he began to talk about some things, and he said, you know, he says, I can remember, he says, when I had my son, he says, I remember when I had my daughter, he says, I have a daughter that's 25 and a son that's, I believe, 22, and he began to talk about them, and he says, I love them so much, and I love them so dearly, he says, but let me say this, he says, I love you tonight too, he says, you're my brothers and you're my sisters in Christ, and I love you dearly, but don't you ask me to give my child for you. He says, don't you ask me to lay down one of their lives for you. He says, I can tell you I love you, and I can demonstrate my love to you, and I can get up here tonight and I can share the gospel with you, and I can tell you I love you because Jesus loves you and He died for you, and I want to share the gospel with you, and that's my expression of love to you. But don't you dare ask me to lay down the life of my child for you. He says, but God did. A son that He loved more than I could ever love my children, He sent Him for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He said this also. He says, you know, if I were to give my child for you, I would expect I'd be the first person you'd want to talk to in the morning. And the last person you'd want to talk to when you go to bed at night. It ought to change our relationship to know that God gave His Son for us. Greater love has no man than this, that He laid down His life for His friends. Just do me a favor, would you? Sing this little chorus with me. Jesus loves me, this I know. Bible tells me so. Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Thus loves me. The Bible tells me so. I remember many years ago, Mr. and Mrs. Roberts' daughter Jennifer singing that song, the sweetest song this side of heaven, is Jesus loves me. This I know. And then the chorus went into that little chorus we just sang. The greatest thing you can know is that Jesus loves you. And He loves you so much, He laid down His life for you. You are His friends. No greater love. I want you to notice, secondly, this morning, not only Christ's great love for man, but Christ's great sacrifice for man. Turn you back, if you will, back a couple pages, John chapter 10. John chapter 10 this morning. The Bible says in verse 7 of John chapter 10, then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. Now look at that next phrase. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. I want you to think this morning, as we think of those that have given their lives that we might have life. The Lord Jesus Christ says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And He says, I am come that not only you might have life, a soldier can give you life. A soldier can give you freedom. He can lay down his life that it might extend our lives and save us for many more years to come until we die a natural death. But the Bible says, Jesus Christ said, I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Nobody can do that but Jesus Christ. He was the sacrifice for our sins. I want you to notice that His great sacrifice should result in a change of life. John chapter 13, if you'll turn forward a couple pages, John chapter 13, the Bible says in verse 35, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples. If you have love one to another. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, whither thou goest? Or whither goest thou? I want you to notice that the Lord Jesus Christ had been preaching and teaching for some time. He'll continue in chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16. Finally, in chapter 17, He will go out and make the high priestly prayer of Jesus Christ. And He'll spend the next little while in prayer before the soldiers come to take Him. But the Bible says here in John chapter 13, as Peter is listening, something happens in his heart. And he begins to realize that Jesus is going somewhere. And I think it might be sooner rather than later. You see, I think they all kind of knew that Jesus had been preaching and teaching and hinting towards that he was about to leave and that these soldiers were going to come and take him and he would be crucified. But it seems like the Holy Spirit kept them from all knowledge at this point. They were often surprised, weren't they? How many times do we read that after Jesus Christ rose from the dead that they remembered what he said? But not before. And as Jesus is teaching and teaching him to love the disciples to love one another and to encourage one another and to comfort one another, Peter perked up and he said, "Lord, whither goest thou? Are you leaving us? What's going on here?" Jesus answered him, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards." Peter said unto him, "Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake." Now, we all understand that those were big words. Peter failed, didn't he? The very next verse, you'll find that Jesus Christ rebukes him. He says, "Peter, before the cock crows, you'll deny me thrice." But his heart said, "I'm willing to die for you." You see, the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ loved him so much that he was willing to die for him and to give his life for him. Just a couple chapters before, he says, I'm the good shepherd. I guard the door to the sheepfold, and a good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. And Peter was mulling all these things over his mind. And he said, "Well, if you're willing to die for me, Lord, I'm willing to die for you." You see, it changed his behavior. And he humbled himself before God. By the way, Peter would finally give his life for Jesus Christ. As he died a cruel death, they say, and tradition tells us, he was crucified upside down because he did not feel he was worthy to be crucified the same way that Jesus Christ was. He gave his life. You know, I wonder today that if the permeating fact in our minds, if we could just think and dwell upon this fact for a moment that Jesus Christ died for you. Shed his blood. He sacrificed himself willingly like a sheep led to the slaughter. He died. Has it changed your behavior? Has it changed your allegiances, your loyalties? Are you following after Christ with your whole heart? The fact of the crucifixion, friends, it ought to change your behavior. I heard a song for the first time about 3 weeks ago, and I've been playing it over and over in my car. It's called "Somebody Died for Me." And it starts out with a true story, apparently. I looked it up. And it tells of a fellow that had been in a lot of trouble in his life, and he'd been in and out of jail. And finally, the last time, he was about 19 years old, and his father said, "I'm not bailing you out anymore." And he paid his bail one last time. He said, "That's the last time I'll bail you out. You're an adult now. And you're responsible for your own behavior." So the young man enlisted in the army, and he headed off to Iraq. And when he came back, he was very, very different. His life had changed. And some people made the comment, "Well, the army really whipped you into shape." And he said, "No, that's not why I changed. I changed because somebody died for me. Gave his life and saved mine." The song goes to tell how he stood at the funeral with the mother of the dead soldier leaning upon his arm and tried to share how he survived the night his best friend fell. The people in the auditorium said, "We're not surprised he died that way because he lived for Jesus." And he used to say, "Somebody died for me, Jesus Christ." When we reflect upon the cross of Calvary and what Jesus Christ has done for us, it ought to change our behavior. It ought to make us so thankful and grateful. We need to stop living for self. Start living for others. Not only did it result in a changed life, it resulted in eternal life. The death of Jesus Christ offered eternal life for all those who would believe. John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Do you know that if you can lose it, it's not everlasting? Do you know that if you could lose it, it's not eternal? When God says something's eternal, that means it never ends. I'm not going to lose it. John chapter 10 and verse 9, I'll take you back to that passage. The Bible says when the Lord Jesus Christ is giving His illustration of being the good shepherd, He says, I am the door. By Me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. But there's no other way in. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but by Me. He says, I am the door. He says, there's others that are trying to get in. He says, they're trying to climb over the walls, but they are just thieves and robbers. He says, I am the door. And if any man come by Me, He says, he shall be saved. I can't for the life understand why thieves and robbers would try to climb in some other way. Why somebody would say, well, I'll just do a bunch of good works and I'll climb over the wall. I'll just go to church every Sunday. I'll just pay an offering. I'll walk old ladies across the street. I'll give to charity. I'll donate my time and work at the hospital. I'll do whatever it takes. I'll visit in the nursing homes. But that will make me good enough to go to heaven. The Bible says you're a thief and a robber. Jesus stands at the door. And the Bible says, if you'll read other scriptures, whosoever will may come. The scriptures also say, He shall in no wise cast you out. Just come to the door. Come to Jesus Christ. He died and paid the price for your sins. And friends, it will result in eternal life if you by faith will trust Him today. He died for you. I want you to notice Jesus Christ's great love for man, His great sacrifice. And if I could give you one more thing, His great offer. Turn to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. This is a good memory tool if it helps you. We all know John 3:16, but remember 1 John 3:16 as well. The Bible says, hereby perceive we the love of God. Here's how we know it. Here's how we understand the love of God. Because He laid down His life. For who? For us. Let's read it all out loud together. Hereby perceive we the love of God because He laid down His life for us. If you were able to say us this morning, that's you. He laid down His life for you. For God so loved the what? World. That's not an exclusive club. That's everybody. For God so loved the world, He loved Africa, Australia, Europe, Asia. He loved North America, South America. My friends over here tell me there's also a Central America. That's a whole other continent for as far as they're concerned. But He loves us all. He loved the whole world. Exclusive to none. He died for you. And He gave His life. He said, well, how did He demonstrate His love to us? But here's how we understand the love of God. Because He laid down His life for us. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8 says, but God commendeth. That's another word for demonstrate. God commendeth or demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Friend, listen to me. The Calvinists will tell you that Jesus Christ only died for the elect. Friends, the Bible says He commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ died for the sins of the whole world. That is exclusive to nobody, but it is available to everybody this morning. Jesus died for you. You ever met somebody who says, well, you know, I'm going to hell and I think that's what I deserve. They've got a very skewed view of what hell is, first of all. They have no idea. But I've met somebody that once said, well, God can't save me. I'm just too great a sinner. Friends, if you ever think that, turn to Acts chapter 9. And there on the road to Damascus, you'll find a fellow by the name of Saul of Tarsus. He was one of the most wicked men that ever lived. We talk about how wicked Hitler was. This was a first century Hitler. His single goal in life was to destroy Christians, to murder them. The Bible says he was breathing out threatenings and slaughter. Can you imagine? Every breath he took, all he could think was, I want to kill some Christians. I want to rip their heads. I wanted to... Anger and hatred. But he met the Lord that day. And from that day forward, he preached Jesus Christ. If God can save Saul of Tarsus, He can save you. Jesus died for all. But God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Let me ask you, friend, are you saved today? We can stand up today and Brother Chernowski got up here and he prayed, and others have made comments that we're so thankful for the freedom that we have. And we're thankful for that freedom, and we owe it to the lives of our soldiers that have bled and died. Friends, we enjoy that freedom without having to do anything to experience it. Jesus Christ died on the cross. There's nothing else you have to do. Just come to Him today. Trust Him today. Put your faith in Him today. And He'll gladly save you and open the door. All those who enter in shall be saved. Let's pray. Father, help us understand Your Word and speak to our hearts today. We're so thankful for the gospel message. We're so thankful, Lord, that You can demonstrate Yours in such a way that You gave Your only begotten Son. Father, help us to see it. Help us to understand it. Maybe there's some here today that have never trusted Jesus Christ. Lord, may today be the day of their salvation. May they come to the shepherd today. May they enter in through the door. Not try to climb over the wall some other way, but Lord, may they trust You for eternal life. Father, help us, we pray, and we'll thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Nobody's looking around. If God...